Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. We're going to take a slow route this day, and sort of in acknowledgement of last week. It was really a lot of technical difficulties and whatnot. We weren't able to have the program at all. So we're back, hopefully, and we're alive and well, and we're going to try it again. And, you know, that's the spirit, you know, and that's the American spirit, but it's also the human spirit. You know, when you look like you fail, you know, if you will just try it again. So let's start with the promise, which is to not waste your time or insult your intelligence. I really can't say enough about that, because I think it really is, how can I say, it holds us both accountable. You know, me accountable for what I deliver, and you accountable for recognizing it, if it has worth and value, and then if it doesn't, maybe it's not for you, or maybe it was a bad night or whatever. But I think the mutual exchange is very important. So what do you say to yourself to get you on and then becoming the recipient? You know, you receive something and you acknowledge it, or you acknowledge that the content wasn't there. You know, so I think that's the thing that this whole thing is evolving into, because I know at first I was putting a lot of scripture in there, and it was almost like Juma. This is not the Juma setting, the Juma design. It's more of a Talim or a TED Talk, you know, for those who know that and familiar with that language. It's to talk about current events, sometimes, not all the time, but generally they're what's happening in the world. And they're dominating what the social media is talking about. And if we're not careful, we'll be guilty, unknowingly guilty, of letting the entertainment culture take us, our minds out into space somewhere, and we don't really connect with what's really going on in the real thing. The real thing is knowing and understanding this thing called life, and that it had an origin and it has a creator, and there's some intentional, that there's the intent in everything that's done. You know, they were asking the question. They're dealing with several deaths, but the one that I was looking at was Matthew Perry, Friends. You know, everybody, you know, that was a big hit back in the day, you know. And so slowly the people who are on there, they're, you know, they're getting sick or whatever, and they're dying or whatever, and he was whatever. But, you know, so they did this big story telling us, you know, what led up to it. And they still haven't released the toxicology to say what was the cause of death. So what's causing them to not look at the facts and that maybe he was off, maybe he got back on? Because here's the thing, and I was sharing it, not sharing it, but I was trying to help people grasp it a little bit, not help people, but understand that on the surface, drugs is not necessarily the culprit. It doesn't go and jump off the shelf and force itself into us or force us to smoke it or take it. When something is troubling us to the point it's distracting us and we don't see any relief, but we do get a little relief when we do drugs. And then after the relief is gone, Then comes the addiction. It's like you can't function without it because you become an addict. So the thing wouldn't be to look at the drug necessarily, as it would be to look at what was causing you to turn to drugs in the first place. That's the big question I think that people don't look at. They say, oh, well, she was on drugs, or he's on drugs, or he's a drug addict, he's fiending, he's all that. Okay, yes. But how did we get there in the first place? We're going to get more help from answering that question than wondering whether he got off the wagon again or whether he did. What caused him to get off the wagon? And they were talking about it leading up to it. He was very tired and this and that and whatnot. That's another recipe that people may not think about. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now, to some people, it's an old saying, and it was designed to motivate. You should be dissatisfied enough to do something with yourself or do something with your life instead of being depressed or sitting around and doing nothing because you're having a pity party. My theory or the theory that I came into with the help of Islam and the help of the Quran and the help of the many teachers that you will find that I've had over the years was there's no way you can find the cure or the answer when you don't know what's causing the problem on a root level, you know. You might get some of the surface stuff. You might embarrass me, or you might think that I have enough willpower or mental strength, or I got this successful career. Like they were saying, he had all this money and he had cars and whatnot, but he didn't have something. Something was missing. Something very important was missing. And it started missing very early because he was, as he tells his story and tells his experience, he got on drugs early. Part of it was he was in that environment, party environment. I'm saying all that to say this. How many of us can relate to his predicament that eventually led to his death? Because that's the other thing that we may not think about. If you have relationships or friendships with people who don't necessarily think your drug addiction is a bad thing, because I socialize and I do it and then I don't do it until I'm out of Marlin and I'm at a party. I do it, but I'm not an addict. I know how to do that. And so they are under the impression that he just didn't know how to do that. You can party with the drugs, it's still him. But my question, a sober question and a sobering question, what more does it do than a natural high? Were you just around some friends, or you're at a club, or you're out just socializing and just that part of the recreational life that we have? We go to games, we go to dinner, we go to entertainments, they have that. So what makes it better in our thinking when there's a little bit of intoxicants involved? One thing that makes us think it's a little better is the advertisement that I just saw on the TV when I was cutting it down. And they absolutely have this new drink. And they're advertising the drink, but they're advertising with previous stars like Marilyn Monroe and et cetera, et cetera. So they're saying, have a night out with Marilyn and, a previous star. So their drink is going to have something like what Marilyn might have been thinking and present at the party. And then they show all these people having so much fun, just laughing and enjoying this thing called life, and having, a Marilyn drink with it or whoever else is on there, whatever deceased person that was a celebrity is brought out of death and resurrected and used to market and sell drinking or the drinks, and then promoting it in a way that it says that it's like this is as good as it gets. Now you're enjoying yourself. This is the best of the best. And you can invite your friends, y'all all get together, and y'all have a great, wonderful memory you have made by getting together and doing this thing. Now, all I'm doing is all I'm trying to do is get us to thinking about how we get where we get. This young man that I was talking about, Matthew Perry, and then I want to mention Benny Spirit. Spirit is what she had to say about in her memoir about her life. But having been there a little bit, not with the wealth, not with the celebrity, not with the kind of celebrations and parties you go to and award banquets and, you know, all those things that you can go to, you know, and be with friends and be with people who are in the industry that you're in. So we have a version of that. I mean, the average person, the person on the on the 9 to 5, or trying to figure it out and trying to decide which way to go, you know, maybe there's been a drop off or a layoff in the industry you're in, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I get back? You know, do I go back to school? What do I do? Well, what you don't do is fog your sense of direction and problem solving by a little alcohol. But according to the way they advertise it, you know, it can be medicinal, and it can help you get through a crisis. As if it's just as good as being clear-headed, clear-minded. Surround yourself with people who are clear-headed and clear-minded, and make a decision based on knowledge and someone else's previous success using that knowledge. Now, I'm pausing because I want that to resonate. I want it to be heard the way I said it, and I understand, like I said before, we can't solve these problems overnight, and just it takes time. It's over time. But we can introduce it as a possibility and as a legitimate alternative. Because too many people find themselves hurting, and they find the pity party is not enough, so they want to numb it or do something to address it so they can get through this thing called life. You know, I just mentioned, you're depressed, and you get up and gone. It's got up and gone. You don't know where it went, where how to go get it, but you find yourself with some people who tell you this is the solution. And nothing could be further from the truth. And I've seen what a little bit of knowledge can do to a situation. It can make it, you know, they say, what did they used to say? A little bit of knowledge is dangerous, something to that effect. And that's so true. Because if you're dealing with your life, or we're dealing with our life, and we only have part of the facts to make the decision or to help us to know which way to go with our lives, and we do more harm than good, and next thing you know, we've extended the amount of time that it's going to take now to get back on the path or get back into sobriety and really start making some major improvements because you're not doing it under the influence. And you're not under the illusion that, like I said before, there's some kind of way this alcohol or this marijuana or this heroin or whatever it is, this cocaine, is helping the process. It may appear that way in the beginning, but as time passes on, it's still a drug that's not naturally used by the body, and it's not going to give natural side effects, because at the end of the day, it's a drug. And it's a reason why it's not out there with the so-called legal drugs, you know. And when people do use it as a recreation or intoxicant or because they're addicted, then you can face criminal charges, which is our answer to trying to remain civilized and keep people off drugs and let them know there's an action to be taken is punitive. But I go back once again, I think this question should be the cornerstone of what needs to be taken place to even help the person get well. Why was I needing or they needing this drug in the beginning? Or whoever was supposedly a friend recommending, you know, the thing you need to do is this. And you are vulnerable enough to do it. And like I said before, it may start out one way, but somewhere down the line, just by the nature of what it is, it's going to have some consequences. And they're not going to be favorable. And one of the other things that, because we are creatures of habit, it's not going to be easy to stop doing what you're doing once you start. And especially if you, back to Matthew Perry or even Britney Spears, if you started at an early enough age, she mentions in her memoir that she started having drugs and sex at 14. And she had this to say about, you know, growing up and being a woman. She said the woman in her makes her, you know, do what she does. And sometimes the woman in her tells her to, you know, be fully naked or not, you know, half naked or dress in a way that's very, what they call it, malfunction. You have malfunction and you can't see more than was intended. But today that's not a big deal. Not like what they did to Janet Jackson on the program. And today, not only is it frequent, but it's encouraged. You know, how much will you show? You know, and everybody's competing with the other one, and then you get, you know, like J-Lo was at one time when she had on her low-cut dress, if you want to call it that. And I'm saying all this to say, if we're not examining this environment that we're in, this man-made environment and what's popular now versus what used to be popular, the sayings that are being said now versus what was being said back in the day, the awareness that is in the average person versus what it was before, and how much concern is there about it? You know, I was just looking at also, you know, and you can have whatever opinion you have about it. You know, there's no news, but nothing but bad news and no news in there. So I don't even look at the news. It's not going to change the situation because we don't look, play the ostrich and stick our head in the ground. It's not going to go away. It should be an incentive to say, look, this thing is going to get worse. I need to come up with some kind of plan or strategy that will get me through this and get my family through this and get me away from any harmful stuff and any ideas and influences that aren't helping. Because there's a lot of people out there today that would swear by what they have, and they'll tell you, if you do this, you know, if you do what we're doing, then you're going to have, you know, relief from what's troubling you or bothering you, or, you know, maybe just nothing but simple hair loss or hair graying or whatever. They say they got answers. For a little bit of money, you can get this, that, and the other. America is in that way all the time, capitalism and whatnot, but it's more treacherous. It's more dollar-driven, and people are actually making decisions for their lives and for other people's lives based on money. You know, this thing called TikTok and all that, and it tells you on there, subscribe, no, like, and then subscribe. Now, the money that translates is the person who got the channel and the other one who could seek to get the benefit, especially if they get high numbers. But nowhere on there do you hear or do they suggest, after they tell you to like and subscribe, There's nothing that suggests thinking. This is a decision that you're making. It doesn't matter. Well, that ain't nothing. Just ask me to like and subscribe. I can do that a little bit. But what are you promoting? What is the end game? You know, like they're in a 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Begin with the end in mind. Where is this getting of the like and getting the surprise and getting the subscription? Where is that going to go? Where is that going to lead that person when they get up to 55,000? How are they going to be impacted by that? Especially when what they did to get up there wasn't quite as wholesome as it could have been, should have been. And they had to show a lot of flesh, and they had to show a lot of skin, and they had to make body gestures to suggest that they was kind of fair game, kind of single and want to mingle type of thing. And it could be true. And then on the other hand, it could be not true, and they just doing what they think they need to do to get paid. And handsomely, you know. I see people over there advertising that they had a $40,000 job, and now they're close to making $1 million. They haven't asked themselves, and no one asked them, you making $1 million versus $44,000? No brainer. But what did you have to do to get to that point? I say, Scripture says, and Scripture is going to, you know, free us or liberate us more than of, you know, freedom, you know, wisdom. You know, all those words suggest that if you get your head with the right knowledge and the right information, it's going to be beneficial to your situation. Very beneficial, because now you can make decisions that's connected to the problem, because you've identified what the problem is, and your moves, your orientation is at the point to where it's not going to be from the skillet to the frying pan situation. Nothing in the world worse than that happening, because you thought you were making a good move and it just made it worse. I'm not talking about a few inches. I'm talking about volumes. Case, I'll give you an example. I work at school. Students, school teachers, and other people in administrative positions. There's one lady, she's been there, I guess, I'll say 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And she's a newbie, what we call a newbie. Nice lady. I mean, really interesting conversation. Seems to be intelligent. And she is. I mean, you know, she knows what she knows. And she's good spirit, always upbeat. But something happened in a relationship that she was in. I don't know if it was a husband, a boyfriend, or whatever. But I guess they broke up. So up comes Jim Dandy. Now, I'd seen him before. He was in one of the seminars we had, and he was in the breakout session. And he seemed to be all right, intelligent, whatnot. So the next thing I know, I see them together like hand in glove. I mean, wherever I see him, I see her. Wherever I see her, I see him. And it was like, whoa, man. So my mind told me, whoa, slow your roll. Just watch and learn. And sure enough, I mean, within months of them starting, I said, wait a minute. I think I see a bump in the stomach area. I said, I don't know. Then not only did I recognize that I had seen a bump, because I saw the bump get bigger, when the bump came, the time that they spent together got less and less and less, until when the bump was really noticeable and everybody knew she's pregnant. He was still working there. He was still coming there, but he was not to be seen. And a couple of times that I did see them, it was like he couldn't wait to get out of there, because he isn't father material, parenting material. and to not let anybody off the hook because it's consensual. It was definitely all of that. That's the first thing they're going to ask you. But if you'd have been thinking, either or could have told the other one, hey, we need to slow down. We don't want to produce a baby here. Because you ready to get pregnant? No. I'm not ready to be a father either, a parent either. So, you know, we better slow down. Nobody even thought that. Why? Because they couldn't see that far down the road. They was too busy and I'm getting attention. And I'm attractive enough that whoever left now look at me now. Look, I got a lover and I got a boyfriend and he just loves me. He wants to spend all day with me and woo woo woo. And so that type of belief encourages a certain kind of consciousness. And when you spend time together, I'm getting told what I want to hear, female. Male, I'm getting what I want to get, and I'm not thinking about consequences because I'm believing that she just loves me and she wants me all day and every day and whoa, whoa, whoa. So now the reality is hit home. What I'm concerned about, C314, is that unwise decision going to bring on unwanted child into the world, make her probably a single parent with a child and no male figure. See, because the ramifications are great because who gonna want to be with you now and help you raise another man's child? See, detrimental, hard lesson to learn. You getting through this thing just by the sheer people telling you to be positive, and also, like I said before, what I hope don't come out of it is that particular man ruining it for all the other men that come behind him, if there are any more. Because just like she was vulnerable and she got pregnant, she can be told, hey, it's them men, they dogs, they hit and run. They get pregnant and leave. They ask you why you got pregnant. Don't take any responsibility for the pregnancy. The best way to end that is to just leave them alone, do same sex. So as you can see, while one can be growing and the other one can be lessening or suffering from people not wanting to get married, or when they do want to get married, they want a same-sex marriage. Because when she's alone with her thoughts, and even him, when he's alone with his thoughts, and they really get deep and think about what just happened, their life is never going to be the same again. Because neither one of them saw it coming. And when it did come, both of them had a reaction to it that got them together. But they didn't get them on the same page, and nobody looked up or walked around and recognized that. I recognized it, not that I didn't see the pregnancy coming, but I recognized this ain't going to last. It's starting too fast, and then as I began to talk to this individual, he wasn't mature. I mean, I'm talking about a deep immaturity. You know, conversation was on, we were going to talk about it. The level that it was on, but you know, all his degrees, I think he has a master's degree, but he has no degree of understanding about how human beings are to be with other human beings, especially once they do something, they have to take responsibility and step up to the plate. That's missing in the world today. And if you want to blame it all on men, you want to blame it all on women, if you want to. We as human beings have dropped to the level to where we don't take responsibility and be accountable for our actions and et cetera, et cetera. So let's talk to 314. Going on. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very astute radio listening audience there, IWDM WDM Radio. Mark Shaheed here from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say Alhamdulillah, and for those who don't or may not know what that means, it just simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. I just want to commend you on the excellent conversation that you started and very, I want to say, graphic information that you're disseminating here. And I was just sitting there thinking, where would I start? Well, I'm going to start from where you just left off in terms of the woman and the man just getting together, being seen all the time, getting the attention. And, you know, because this is an Islam-based conversation, I want to give something that Prophet Muhammad gave. For those who don't know Prophet Muhammad, we see Prophet Muhammad as the finality of the prophets, and he brought a universal message, not just for Muslims, but for everyone that have a ear to hear, And that was something very profound. He said that all matters and actions are tied to your niyyah. Niyyah just means your intentions, your motivation, you know, in terms of why one would do such things. You know, and then just listening to what you were saying, it came to me that intentions, whether they pure or not pure, they are tied to your attention. You know, so just listening to, you know, what you were saying, Imam Pasha, the attention that obviously both of them wanted to get, you know, maybe he was by society standards considered a good-looking man, and a good-looking man thinking, I should be with a good-looking woman, and she vice versa, thinking, I'm a good-looking woman, I should be with a good-looking man. And maybe there were people, obviously, ooh, y'all look good together. Okay, so we're just looking in terms of superficial things and just looking at, you know, these two people on the physical level is looking good. But actually, in terms of actually being mates or potentially being able to be mates and actually following the natural course of things would naturally would lead to the fact that I can see you as a mate for the rest of my life and vice versa. Sacred institution of marriage, that never really entered their mind if, in fact, they were mates of like nature, you know, of like nature. So ultimately, they began to enjoy each other that is supposed to be the consummation of a relationship, not the beginning, but the consummation of a relationship. And this is why oftentimes it becomes a real, real, real challenge, as the old people, you know, Pasha used to say, when you put the cart before the horse, because I ain't never seen a cart. I never seen a cart pull a horse.
Right.
The horse always pull the cart. Okay, so this means that the void, the language of things being asked backwards, so to speak. And whenever whenever we do that, then the ultimate results, because like you saying, you just observing, you know, and I was kind of smiling and chuckling. I thought I saw a little knot there. And then you look again, it got bigger, and then it got bigger, and then it became obvious she's pregnant. So then you can't really conceal or camouflage pregnancy. And as my good brother and friend, may Allah forgive him his false sins and errors and bless him with paradise, Dick Gregory once said, there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. Okay, so the child is very legitimate in that the child has needs, and there need to be provisions that's provided for the child, and the child has rights. So if there was ever a commitment, if there was never a commitment to first be husband and wife first, and to do be a commitment to do what's right, now that's going to be a void in that child's life, because the mother is stuck with the child, and most mothers, any decency at all, she's going to take on the full responsibility of trying to be a father and mother, because father is a role and responsibility. So these things should actually be thought about. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, you know, when we talk about those things that is problematic for many people, not only just our ethnic group, African Americans, but now for the whole world, really, in terms of wanting to be delusional and taking our mind off or away temporarily from any problem or situation that we may have, and then resorting to drugs or alcohol is temporary. I want to say temporary antidote for that. We know it's not really the real solution for that. There's a framework that I've used for years in workshops or what, and the first thing that in terms of an issue or a challenge, or as we say, a problem, is that we have to face it. We really have to face it, not be evasive in that regard. Everybody can see this is a problem. This is a problem for you, and you're relying upon it, and you may store it out, saying, I'm just doing this, you know, to be sociable or casual. And even, you know, the commercials you were speaking about, even the commercials, they'll tell you where they're advertising to you to buy intoxicant to drink sociably. Okay, so that might be your intention. I'm going to drink sociably. But you know what? This is good. And then it becomes, I got to have it every day. So before you know it, unconsciously, you're addicted. And you're addict. Right. But then you deceive your own self. You deceive your own self in terms, I'm not an addict. I don't want to be seen like that. So then you become evasive instead of face it, where everybody else can see you're an addict. You got to, you always got to have some alcohol to get you going. You always got to have some drugs, you understand, to have that sense of high instead of a natural high, because you never learn what a natural high is, and it doesn't involve drugs in terms of having that. So the first step is to face it. Now, here's where you were talking about everything has a root in terms of cause, in terms of cause. Why don't we look at what caused this? So the second part of this framework is that if you're able to face it, then you have to trace it. Trace it. Trace it back to what? When did this first start in your life? How did this actually start in your life? See, these two first steps in terms of things that are problematic or issues or challenges is very important, because if you're not able to face it, you're evasive, and you don't trace it to where it began. Everything has a beginning, even addiction, alcohol, sex, or drugs, or whatever becomes where you're dependent upon it, it becomes your master, and you're the servant of that. You're the slave of whatever the addiction is. It's only those first two things that has to be done before you can erase it. This is why oftentimes people can't erase that in their life, because they haven't done the first two things. They've never faced it. They never traced it. So it can't be erased. And then the final step, that once you take something away in mass, you have to replace it. You see, you have to replace it because there is a need, a urging in the human being, in the nature, to have whatever was problematic for you in the first place, to replace it with something that is beneficial, you know, to liberate you from the incarceration that you had. And for us, as Alassane-based conversation, this is what is important to us. What is it that the Creator gives to us, which liberates us from the incarceration? They incarcerate other people. I mean, these things are not problematic to us. But when we are properly informed, and not misinformed, uninformed, that brings about deform in our life. You know, and one last thing, and I'm done. In terms of making decisions and making what is called stupid decisions, as a word tologist, that word stupid, put it in your mind, spell it, you know, in terms of looking at S-T-U-P-I-D, that means sticking to, now here's the key word in the acronym STUPID, unsuccessful. Sticking to unsuccessful practices involving decisions. That's stupid. When you're sticking to something, you want to stick to something that has been tried and proven, where you know you're going to get the relief that's going to be tied to your belief. But when you're sticking to unsuccessful practices involving decisions that you make, that's stupid. You've already gotten the results before. Somebody had to tell you that you was on top of the table with half of your clothes off, that you did this and almost got hit by a car. Somebody had to tell you all what you did because you were in a state of unconsciousness, you see. Or you have friends like that where what they did was stupid, and they continuously do it. So that's sticking to unsuccessful practices involving decisions that they have made or you have made in that regard. So this means that we have to come to a sense of what is truth and what is reality. And this helps to give the shape, the form of the life that we want by properly being informed as to who we are, and that the challenges will be faced with. But if, in fact, something becomes problematic and becomes an issue in our life, we have to face it, then trace it, so that we can erase it and replace it with something that will be beneficial for us for the rest of our life. I could say a lot more, but I'm just adding my 2 cents to the conversation. As always, I'm enjoying Alassane-based conversation. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Before you go, could you repeat that stupid, sticking to what kind of practices?
Sticking to unsuccessful, that's the U, unsuccessful practices involving decisions. So stupid is as stupid is. But when you do stupid things and you just repeatedly, it's a repetitive thing, you just stick into, in other words, I'm not going to let this go. This is my way of thinking. I'm living life the way I want to live life. That's life. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it my way. What's that? I think Frank Sinatra had this song. Oh, he got a beautiful voice.
That was him. Yeah.
It's a beautiful voice. But listen to the lyrics. Listen to the words. Words make people. I'm doing it my way. You see? And what about the Isley Brothers many years ago in the 70s? I remember it. They came up with this song, It's Your Thing. It's Your Thing.
All right.
Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to socket to. Oh, that had many implications in that. And then at the end of the song, now they got you saying, it's my thing. I do what I want to do. You see? So, no, it's not your thing. And you don't want to do it my way, even though the voice sounds nice, the background music and everything. But if we don't have anything to filter these lyrics, these words with, it will enter into the basement of your mind or the subconscious of your mind. And pretty soon you'll just be singing it or humming it, and it can take root in the subconscious. And before you know it, you're actually a victim of what has come into your mind, not through the proper door, where you're conscious of how that got in, and now you're rejecting the truth and have locked the door to the truth to be able to come to your mind to liberate you. And it opens the door for incarceration, many things, intimate information. We would just become vulnerable and gullible for anybody to say anything to us. And we will just accept it, what we call hook, line, and sinker. And it brings a sinking to us as human beings. So now stupid is sticking to unsuccessful. That's the you, unsuccessful. That's the key word in stupid. Unsuccessful was the P, practices. We are creatures of habit. You know, habits can be your best friend or your worst enemy. But if you continuously become a practitioner of unsuccessful practices and you let this be involving in your decision-making where you refuse to let things go after you have seen the results. See, Allah usually gives us signs. And you see, sometimes people have to come to just the brink of death. You know, that's where we have a saying that says you have to hit rock bottom before it makes an impression on their mind. How many times are you going to get drunk and barely make it home without maybe running into somebody, taking innocent life, getting a DWI, or maybe killing yourself in the process too? I mean, how many signs do we need? I'm not asking you to answer that, but I'm asking this a rhetorical question for us to think about. Is this a benefit? Is this really helping me? Or is this hurting me and actually harming me in what I'm doing to myself? Right. So I just stopped there. But thank you always, Al-Islam based conversation, for us to have a realization and a manifestation what it is that we really like to see in our life. And when we see that we're addict, we have to face it. Enough people tell you, you know, you're an addict. Everybody see you're an addict, but you don't see yourself as an addict. You're being evasive, but you have to face it and then trace it. When did this all start in my life? Because everything has a beginning. Everything has a root.
Yes. You see.
So, alhamdulillah, I'll stop there. Thank you so much for giving the opportunity to give my knuckles worth here on our Islam-based conversation. As-salamu alaykum, my brother and friend.
Walaykum as-salam, and thank you. I mean, it was very complimentary to what I was saying, and that's when you know that the person that you're listening is getting it, because not only do they share what you said, but they share what they have to say about what you said, and that's very key, and I think a lot of people don't think it that way. It's like plagiarizing, or you took my stuff and you said it. It's not your stuff, first of all, like you said. If it was your stuff, then you have a right to complain. But since you here renting like everybody else,
you know, brother,
it's
ma'am.
It's not your stuff.
You know, brother, ma'am, you and I talk all the time. I think the radio listeners always know that we've been talking together for years and years. Charged up from hearing and listening to you and vice versa and everything. So we're saying the same thing, just in a different way. That's all. So it's
just what
you're bringing up in terms of the world today. The world today,
yes,
the reality that is being experienced in the world today, but to actually help people along the way in terms of the addiction. And there's so many addictions today, you know, there's so many human problems and situations and conditions today. I mean, suicide, homicide, this is not the natural way. And so when we look at, you know, things from the reality of what's happening, you are absolutely on point. All of this has a root. You know, we should be looking at the cause. Like you said, the drugs didn't just jump off the shelf.
Right.
And, you know, so we can't blame the gun just don't jump off the shelf and put bullets in it.
No.
So what is the cause of this? And we have to look a little bit deeper. You know that as well as I do. But we're from the same school. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you again. So we're gonna not shift, but we're going to go a little deeper. And, then, you know, there's a word that's very popular now in unpacking. And that's what's really going on, you know, in unpacking. And you can hear a lot of different things when you hear that unpacking. You can see clothes. You can see slang for when people have a gun and unpacking it and having the ammunition to put in it. But if you see it in a healthy way, it's you having the ability to protect yourself from those things that are harming you or could harm your family or could harm humanity. See? It needs to suffer a death, but it don't have to be a physical death. See? And in fact, scripture says, die that you may live. Something is already killing you off. And if you die to that and stop letting it, like we said before, be a habit, or stop thinking you're going to get satisfied and not just you're going to get gratified from having unlawful sex. You're going to be just like it is today. People are doing it more and enjoying it less. Now, you wouldn't think that because people, it has went up in what the amount of people that are doing it and the amount of people at the age that they are doing it. But they don't know the difference between love and lust. So it appears to them, you know, that what Marvin Gaye said is true. Let's get it on. You know, sexual healing and all that stuff if he can't. Because we, like Brother mentioned, it sounds so good when you hear it, but when you get it introduced to you and you stop a few minutes and examine it and the consequences that could come as a result of it, you don't do it. Because once you start down that road, you're going to have a problem with stopping. Not necessarily because it's so good, but because you've introduced and you've been you've come under the influence of something different, strange. It's not like whatever, you know. It's just different. In fact, there was a song that came out, I do things that your man won't do, or your husband won't do. And now, when you look at the behavior sexually that's out there is very related. I'm going to stop with this particular observation and move to something else. It's very related to pornography. Pornography is very related to the fact that they've turned it into what used to be, what should be a natural occurrence between individuals, and they have solidified their vow, and now they're able to do that act and it not be fornication or adultery. But because it's fornication and adultery, no one resists breaking the rules or introducing something that they just call kinky when, in fact, it's more and more unnatural. And there's some things that I will mention, but I'm not going to mention them, that would help you understand, like the brother said, I think this was solidified. If it's not intended to derive pleasure from, then don't do it. because you're deriving pleasure from something that wasn't intended, it's an unnatural act. The act can't be measured by pleasure, because the actual act itself is governed by pleasure and pain. One or two things are going to happen. You're going to find it very painful after. And then if you have really had your nature warped, you don't want it any other way. Thus, it introduces the BMSD people. In fact, no, I ain't going to tell that joke. I was going to tell a joke, but no, that's, it would be funny, but any old joke, but I'm not going to say it. But so that's what's going on in the society that we live in today. And like the brother said, and it's really, when you listen to it, it's not just a repetitive refrain. If you haven't examined it thoroughly like you should and seen the intent behind it, and you're making excuses, or you're exploring this, you know, particular act or function, the next thing you know, you're going to have another physical or ailment that's coming as a result of it. And it's already happening. You know, what was it? AIDS was HIV. Well, there's other STDs now as a result of some of the sexual behavior that's being taken place. And what actually is, like I said before, lustful action is the perpetrator. So let's shift the gears a little bit, because there's always so much to say, and a particular conversation is very delicate, because you know, people are under the illusion of one thing, and it's nothing could be further from the truth. But I want to talk a little bit in my conclusion, because we can't end these problems overnight, and we can't even get people to listen and look at them if we get too preachy with it. You know, because people will say, when are you going to start teaching religion? You're talking about sex. It's very much a part of religion to know these things and to know the proper perspective about these things. And so that's why a good question comes into play. Just like a, you know, because what we've been talking about all this time is environment. Do you have this, and what Imam Muhammad said, have your environment conducive to what it should be? And if you did, you could get creation-supported social logic. Actually, what could right the wrong, because you have the benefit of Mother Nature and the environment that you came into without even get introduced to a creator or a lord or someone who sustains all of this and has created it and given it intent and given it accessibility to the human being, because you're the final stage. Whatever us here as creation needs us as documentation and orientation so that we can give it expression in the most excellent and pristine way. That's where we're dropping the ball. We're getting it. We're getting excited about it. And we're beating our chests and we're walking around with all this so-called power. And it's went to our head and it got misdirected. Go to the heart first. Then come out to the head. Because if it gets in the head first, the next thing you know, you think you are more important than you really are. You know, Mr. Big Stuff, and get big-headed and get hard. You get where you can't come in the room because your ego's got your head so swollen. You have to duck, you know, because your head's so big. And that's true. It's not you. We as human beings, not just men either. Even though the men's more susceptible, women are susceptible in this way. They lack esteem, so that their ego is constantly defending them when it's unnecessary. If you have esteem, you know the difference between a put-down and someone who's trying to give you constructive criticism. How is constructive criticism beneficial? How does it benefit? It benefits because we can't see the rear. We can get in the rear, we can turn, we can kind of glance, and we get peripheral working and some other stuff going on. But clearly, as with the king without no clothes on, try to help us understand, you don't get enough view back there to really know what's going on. So if someone comes along and you ask them, well, join me in this process, did I do this right? Is it looking good? Did, you know, whatever. Am I still trapped in the past and it's robbing me of my future? Am I present, like he just mentioned, to what's going on, and I realize there's going to be consequences to my actions and behaviors, and there's no way that I can avoid it because those actions and behaviors are wrong. It's unhuman to do those things to my fellow human being and it not bother me. One of those things is lying to another human being for the sole purpose of taking advantage of the situation or the individual. It could be one, and this is people, they take it for a joke and they laugh about it and they do. Telling people what they want to hear because you have an agenda. Wrong. How do I look? Oh, baby, you're gorgeous. What? How could a week produce that kind of language? When the real beauty is the inner beauty. What? How did we get going down on that track? Well, you are telling me something about my outer beauty, but you want an internal behavior to result as a result of you talking about something that's my outer beauty. And because you are such a gifted person with the gab, you are convincing me, making me blush and feel all googly inside, because you have the ability to compliment, but you also have an agenda for doing it. And you're laying praises at my feet in hopes that it will penetrate other behaviors in me. And when they do, the bottom line is that you said these things, but not in the way that they should be said, and you were saying, you weren't telling the truth, because you just said it because you thought, if I tell her what she wants to hear, I can get what I want out of the deal. Well, there's a joke that people say when you come home and your wife is complimenting, oh, how was your day? Oh, you look tired and what do you want? That's a joke. I mean, it could be just general conversation, but sometimes they have an agenda and they want to build you up so they can get what they want. If we do that too many times in any relationship, but especially in a marriage, we're weakening the foundation because you're using words and concepts in a way that they weren't intended. When it's said, it should be something truthful and beneficial for you and informing this person, don't stop being that way. The world needs thoughtful people. The world needs people will volunteer and help other people. Volunteerism is down in this country and in this society. I ain't got time to help them. I got problems of my own. But just think about it. If you make time for somebody else, what do you think that's worthy of in terms of reward? Not only an individual physical award that you get, but you get an ability that a lot of people don't have and ain't trying to get. So what happens to that? Exponentially, when it begins to grow, then the world now that we live in is going to be a better world because this thing got to be very addictive, very having the ability to impregnate and birth better acting and behaving people, which will produce a better world. And all it needs is just a few people making that decision and then developing a community or UMA that goes out and the rest of the world begin to say, I like what y'all are doing. Would you help us do it too? And then it begins to spread. And what's it called when it spreads like that? Dawah. That's the Arabic that tells you you're doing good. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're extending your hand to help the other person get a hand up or be picked up, and then not welfare. It's not a hand down or a hand me out. It's a hand up. You get up and get yourself positioned to get the beautiful benefit of this beautiful thing called life and win the world. Let me help you get that. Not be greedy and get my portion and your portion of it too. If God was a man, then, you know, you would see the consequence. You see it anyway, but not like punitive. It's not like that. You missed out on what you could have got by not doing it. You lost sight of what this whole thing was. You don't have a big picture. You got a little narrow picture. And every time it comes up, you see you. And so you make it all about you. How could this big old world be all about you and me? So that's why this world, and Scripture hints it, don't get destroyed. Because at the end of the day, this world is much more bigger than you are. Especially the little you, the little drunk you, the little intoxicated you, you know. We've let the magnificence of what we're dealing with. I gotta have her, man. I can't live without her. I gotta make her mine. What? You can't do that. She has a right to have a say so. She ain't feeling what you feeling. Now, when she start feeling it off, she can feel it because you approach her and you approach her properly. But because you got obsessed with her beauty, and you made it your mission in life to marry her so you could be the recipient of her beauty. And you think it's going to be a good marriage, and it's going to last, and it's going to produce your children, and it's going to last forever. No. The minute you went down that road, it's getting ready to unfold and unwrap itself. You know, there's a certain ethos that keeps something strong and healthy and wholesome and staying together. You look, you see it on the heads of cabbage and, I can't think of the other green, but it's lettuce, yeah, but even more so with cabbage. The leaves of the cabbage, you just have to pull them off to get them off. So what if you had that kind of ethos in your relationship and the real yin and yang was really happening? You know, when you vip, she vops. And she mastered the way to support you in a way that it motivates you. And things that you weren't succeeding at, you now are having that success because you got someone knows how to support you and motivate you and show you her benefit to you, you know, and then it becomes the teamwork makes the dream work. Initiated by you all. Y'all's team version of it going to be different from the people down there. Intent is the same. We both want healthy, happy marriage. Great, wonderful family. Healthy, wholesome people in our community to influence the people who aren't healthy, who aren't wholesome, who are just across the bridge or just across the way. And eventually, if we don't help them over there, it's going to creep, and back over to our plot spot. And it may take a generation before it gets there. But next thing you know, the group, the people that you left down and out, the people that you left who had unfortunate, a little more unfortunate than you left them behind and it caused a big gap. And now the same thing that you left behind has creeped in your community. And it's alive and well. We see it every day. There's some solid examples if you think about it. What is popular in some of these so-called well-to-do communities now? You know? What are they doing to alter themselves to accommodate what's popular now? They got to sin, lips and hips. You got to have them. According to the agenda they got you on or got us on in the social media. And people get a little adjustment, and some people don't know. They go over out of bounds and overboard. If you didn't come here with it, then don't be messing with it to get it to fit, you know, because once again, we're dealing with the outer beauty, the physical extremities. Those lips and hips serves a cause that's not duplicatable and really healthy and hardy situations. What we have, I'm going to make this statement, and this is going to be just about the part of the conclusion. Now, one more thing I'll ask in terms of a question, but what we have is enough. We don't need the tattoo, or what they call it, they call it body art. You don't need no body art. Especially body art that is going to be poisonous later on. But also, if you decide to move away from body art, they have telling me, I don't know if it's true or not, it's more painful to take it off than it is to put it on. So guess what happened? Ain't nobody going to be going. And it's expensive, too. You got half your leg covered in something, and now you want to take it off and get your normal legs back, get your normal arm back, or get your face back. I mean, there's people go all over the face with stuff. So what happens when you get under that spirit? Because they told me once you get one, you can't stop at one. It's like Pringles, those chips, but you can't eat one. Who's talking? Someone who knows how to manipulate appetites. They flash it in your face and just tell you, this thing is so addicting. Once you eat one, you got to eat another one. It may not be but two, but you got to have another one. That's just how I planned it. See, but how are you able to do that? Once again, we're going back to this cause. You can do it because I have an appetite. See, but if my appetite is checked by knowledge, then you can't do it. See, it's not such a appealing challenge now, because now you're bringing in the question. You're acting like a puppeteer. So I can orchestrate what your appetites are. I can tell you what you do and what you can't do. And that comes into everything. Your social life, your personal life, your professional life. I tell you what you qualify to do. You look good in math. You should be this. You should define what you're going to be and then learn it and then do it. You shouldn't be sitting up there making millions of dollars on something that you don't like doing just because they give you $1 million. When you look at the fact that God sent us here with a limited free will, you're losing it when you allow someone else to tell you what you should be doing and what you're good at and what you can make a lot of money at. That decision, with the understanding of your limited free will that we have, is a decision that you make, not someone else, because they wave some money in front of your face. Because the question the scripture asks, what gaineth a person to win the world and lose their soul? And when you are following, it could be your parents, it could be anybody that's down the road, that's not purpose-driven, which will make it passion-driven, you can't own it because someone else got you on that road. Something called money may have you on that road. When the road should be there because of a natural desire and an appetite and an ambition to do that and be that. You do what you love and you do it with people that you love, so you love what you do. That's how simple it is. You ain't got to have no alarm clock to get you up, to wake you up. You have sciatic nerves and there's a built-in alarm. It says, rise and shine, you know, up and at 'em. That's what it says. Because now you have the thing in that drives you, that makes you want to get up and make your contribution and make good use of your time and pass that on as a part of your legacy to the future generations. See, that gets you excited. It gets me excited just talking about it. Because it's so real, it's so alive when you touch it and when you're in touch with it. You know, it's just like a poor brother. What was his name? See, I got to talking there. I forgot his name. Anyway, he was saying, "But they can't touch this," you know. So, but you can when it's real. When you've decided it and you're going to bring it into existence with the help of the resources that's already here. You're not originating. The origin is not coming from you. The incentive and the inspiration is coming to you and coming through you, or coming through us and coming to us to do this. And something is just like an itch you can't scratch. You just got to do it. And once you do it and complete it, you feel so good. It's probably one of the greatest feelings that you're going to feel, because you really realize now it was my purpose to do it, and I did it before I left the planet. I did it before I got deceased. Now the world going to get a contribution coming from me, and who knows what impact it's going to have on people, because at the time that it happened, that's what they needed. You know, there's a saying, and I'm going to conclude with this saying. I'm going to conclude after I ask this question. But there's a saying that says, less is more. Less is more. So that's kind of like a dichotomy. It's kind of like a, I forget the other word that they use, oxymoron. Yeah, that's what they say. It's stupid. No, it don't sound sense. But less is more when it's less likely to forget and more likely to remember. Less is more when what you're saying or doing is less likely to be forgotten and more likely to be remembered. Because you ain't got all that stuff to go unpack. And I'm going to use an example of a question that says a whole lot, and it used to be a question that we used to ask each other in the Nation of Islam, produced a book, so you can see it's powerful. And the question was, or still is really, do you live to eat or eat to live? Let me ask it again. Do you live to eat or eat to live? How many people, if they think about that, they would be guilty of saying, I live to eat. I want seconds because I just love what I just ate. I'm full. One third, one third, one third. I'm full. But man, she put her foot in there. They put their foot in there. I got to have me another one. But after a while, if you want to ask yourself that question, what are you doing? You living to eat or are you eating to live? Because our religion tells you that one third water, one third the food, and one third air. Leave some room in there. Don't be so tight, and the next thing you know, you're doing stuff to suggest I'm full. I'm over full. I don't feel now. I feel kind of slouchy and drowsy and, you know, lazy. Because you overate. But how did you overeat? Because you haven't answered the question. Live to eat, I eat to live. People who do that, they got a whole category. They're called foodies. But if you hear, listen to it, foodies, you hear the real statement that people are doing behind the scenes. Foolish. Why take a good thing and spoil it? You're doing good. You got a great meal. Your leftovers are always better than the meal itself in the beginning. It's going to be 10 times better when all that stuff marinate together and all that. But if you ate your portion and you ain't got but a little bit the next day, boo, boo, boo. So let me stop sounding like I'm picking on people who may have weight problems. But I'm telling you the solution. Ask yourself, do you live to eat or you eat to live? And I think it produced a book of How to Live to Eat, or What to Live to Eat, or something like that. I think it was the name of it. And Dr. Abdel Nordin, he came with his book to help us to try to understand this nutrition thing and how it works. Once you do that, what I'm talking about, your body will love you and your body will serve you because you acknowledge the body, which is an intelligent thing and it has rights. It only does things to get your attention. Get our attention to let us know you're overdoing it, or you're incorrectly doing it, or you're not for you to do it. And your health is your wealth, and wealth is a mindset, not a dollar amount. anything that's contributing to your overall wealth, and health is one of them, it comes in that it's not material money. It's not even an entity. You can't see it. You can experience that you're not doing it, and you don't know exercise and watching the portions and watching what time you eat and all the stuff that goes with it. And allow yourself to be full. Don't let the taste get you all upset about, you know, how much you're going to eat. This is good. It tastes good. Okay. But your taste buds are not there to have you overeating. Your taste buds are over there so you can recognize what you're eating. And it will tell you if you ate something that's not compatible, you know. People get sick. So, you know, let me conclude with that. I think we've covered a lot of ground about a lot of different things, and what we really want to do, and hopefully we have done, is to get you aware of the language that's in the environment. Yes, sir. 314 coming to you, and aware that there's so much language out there, information out there that will help us to turn things around in our lives and in our lifetime. You know, you don't have to say, you know, I missed out, or I'm missing out, or I'm going to do. You don't know none of that. This is the time. The last should be first, and the first should be last. That wasn't just put out there so somebody has something cute to say. No, that's a truth. That's a reality. We're seeing it. It's not a black thing. It's a human thing. That's probably why you're not seeing it. It's not black. It's not white. It's not just talking about white people. It's talking about people in general, where that predicament has been in place. It was destined to where it is at now when it first started. But it came in contact with what the Creator has that we don't have to, that we don't concern ourselves with, that we concern ourselves with, and that's time. You haven't escaped it and got away because time hasn't caught up to you. Because time that we're talking about is not man's time. We're talking about the Creator of time. And when you commit a crime, you're going to do some time. You just are. You're going to pay. There's consequences. No, and that's fair. You did it. Your intent was to do it. You so-called benefited from it. And why your benefit causes other people to suffer. And then the detriment that it left into the suffering lives of people, the harm was greater than the benefit. There's no doubt in the crime and the Creator of the whole situation says, not necessarily I'm punishing, but the consequences of what you did is punishing, and it's in place, and it's just. It doesn't say, oh, you can get a get-out-of-jail card. You do this and you do that. No, you did that. There's consequences for that. So be prepared to pay the consequences for that, which means what? You repent, and then you can get redeemed. So it's not designed to punish people. It's designed to help people stay on the path, and when they get off the path, don't let the blurred lines keep you from getting back on the path and in a repentant way so you can be redeemed and restored to the original place and capacity. If that ain't justice, I don't know what it is. Okay, so let me stop, get Brother Mark on here, and let's see if we can end this deal. Brother Mark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen, Pasha. Man, I'm telling you, I got a big smile on my face, man. I didn't want to say anything else, really, because you dropped so many gems, so many things that are so thought-provoking. I think that when you was talking about this entertainer that said, can't touch this, I think you were thinking about MC Hammer. He was called the Hammer.
Yes, sir.
Right. MC Hammer, can't touch this. You see,
right.
So, and then I was just thinking about when you say less is more. You know, this is actually an ethnic group of people. You and I have been around long enough to actually have a taste of reality or experience of that, whereas that once upon a time we had less and we was able to do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now just the reverse, we have more and now we wind up doing less. And so we can take that and we can look at it from a Quranic base. It's this Al Islam base conversation. Allah says he does not put a burden or more a burden on a soul that it can bear. So this means that if we are overloaded in terms of burdensome, this means that we actually are actually doing that. And then the less that we are open for the influence of the avowed enemy of human beings in terms of actually our thinking, our thoughts, our mental attitude, our disposition, and, of course, our actions and behavior, then the more we can be in tune to the created purpose for us as human beings. You know, as a wordologist, this word purpose, so that we can understand it, you know, this is people understanding the revealed plan of successful existence. And what does that mean in terms of, I just don't do acronyms just to do them, but to package it so that we can really begin to think and reflect on it. People understanding the revealed plan. Okay, so what is the revealed plan? There's a revealed plan that the Creator has for all of us, of what the last two letters in purpose is, successful existence. So we're just not here without an aim and a purpose. There is a purpose for us being here. But when we as people understand the revealed plan that God has for us of successful existence, then we will value this life. You know, we would really have value this life, and we would respect it, and we'll get more from it, and we will leave more to generations to come, you know. And by having that type of personal understanding, we can take that P and make it a personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. This may ultimately be a ticket to the Jannah. Jannah, for those who are not Muslim, it simply means the paradise. This is the origin of the human creation, which is paradise, is our brother, Christian brothers and sisters say, heaven, to be back in that state or condition once again. So it's very important to know to live life on purpose. As I heard Imam Muhammad once in a speech or lecture that he was given, he said, we have to live life on purpose. And to know and understand purpose, it gives us our marching, orders to the goals that we are to actually have in this life. Life without purpose is meaningless. It's insignificant. And we see, Pasha, we see a lot of people that seem they don't have a life purpose, and we can see that they don't know what their purpose is by what it is they're doing, their behavior, and what is they doing. They're not leaving a contribution, not a good legacy to leave for their children, their family to follow. And there's nothing worse than have a person, people that don't have a purpose. They're purposeless, not doing things purpose. And this is very important. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to actually give that. There's so much that you gave in terms of really, I would call them gold nuggets, jewels, that actually are thought-provoking, that we need to really, really think about the time that we have. This is not a time of eternity. At some point, this life, which is a temporal life, is going to end. So that dash, that dash between when we were born and when it ends for us here on planet Earth is so important. What is it that we did? What is it that we did? What is it that we have done with the time that we've been given? So I'm hoping that, you know, that this presentation that you made really resonate with others as it has resonated with me in terms of provoking thought in my mind. And I think this is what Al Islam-based conversation really is all about, you know, the various topics that you present. So I just want to commend you on excellent presentation. And I want the radio listening audience to know that the beat does go on here on IWDM Radio. As Tuesday, we have the very distinguished and esteemed Rashid Salam and his co-host, a guest, each and every Tuesday, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of your health and you learning lab. So, you know, we are creation. And so as in all creation and created matter, there's a science that comes along with that. And of course, you heard Imam Nazim Pasha talk about, for those who don't know, the question, do you eat to live or live to eat? Well, for us that are conscious, we eat to live, and we just don't live to eat, because if you just live to eat, you won't be here very long. You won't be here very long. You won't be very healthy. Even if you just live to eat, you'll be eating pretty much any and everything, and everything is not to be eaten. And as Pasha said, there's certain portions that you should eat and leave room for other portions so that you will always have an appetite. See, so it's a lot of wisdom in that. So this is each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. You need to bring a pen, a sharp pencil, and a notebook. A lot of great information, education on this production that happens each and every Tuesday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished sister, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic base and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. Sounds familiar? Please tune in for that. It starts each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. The MGM stands for the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed members in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. But I also have guests at times that's not in the community, and I always like to present to you topics that are pertinent to us as a community. This is each and every Wednesday night. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and that would be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where we try to teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And for the last 5 months, I have been given my true love recipe. Notice this is a recipe with all organic and natural ingredients in terms of qualities and characteristics, no artificial colors nor flavors, but all the preservatives are natural preservatives. designed to sustain and maintain a healthy relationship. And we've had outstanding couples. And I'm going to keep it a secret for this Thursday, but I think you should tune in. I think you're going to be amazed at the couple that we're looking at having this Thursday. And my special guest facilitator will be our beloved sister, Kalita Akbar of North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, the Quin City there of Charlotte, North Carolina. She will be my special guest facilitator. So please tune in. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time this Thursday. Friday is Salatu Juma Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized, who can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, and that starts each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Saturday, the latest production is the Muslim Book Club. Yes, that's right, the Muslim Book Club, once again hosted by Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And the first book that we have is a really, really informational, educational book on our honorable first lady and mother of our community, and that would be Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. This is a two-volume book, and we own the first book, and I tell you, it is so informational. It's these two books you should have in your possession and have in your library, because it's a big part of our story, our history, that we should be reading. And there's a reading, and then there is commentary, insight that are given by those who tune in, listen in, and share it. And it's so, so very beneficial for us. So it begins each and every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, and it is 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? Well, it's also the theme of this year's 2023, Time to Be Grateful. But you can hear it on IWDM Radio each and every Sunday, once again, with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live tonight with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts this production called ABC. It just eases 1, 2, 3. But it's Al-Islam-based conversation where a variety of topics are presented to you, and the invitation goes out to all. You don't have to be a Muslim. So if you're listening, invite your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members to tune in to Al-Islam-based conversation, because it's true to that. The conversation will be a variety of conversation, communication, and information, but it'll be Al-Islam based. And so that happens each and every Monday here starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam based conversation with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. We also want you to know that we at IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. Make sure that you keep up your subscription. And if you have the wherewithal, think about giving a gift to maybe a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or maybe somebody in your community, and especially maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library, where many can read the Muslim Journal, as it has been for many, many years, the lifeblood of our community. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful to be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. It's going to be so much that's going on there. You want to be there, and you surely don't want to be square, but you don't want to get it secondhand. So make sure as there's a capacity for everything and for everybody. You don't want to be on the outside looking in, and you don't want to be getting that information secondhand. So we need you to go and get registered, inshallah. I'll be there. You see somebody stumbling and bumbling around, that'll be me. So please make sure you come and give me the greetings of peace. I'd love to be able to know that you actually are there. So with that being said, as always, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you all the time. Assalamu alaikum. Back to you, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. I mean, you get my hopes up to go see these things and do these things. I mean, it's just a welcome invitation and make us know that we got a rich community here with, you know, a lot of good people with a lot of good information. And, you know, it's not no one size fits all, so that's the important thing about it. And we welcome you as well as we can, and we try to be a good host to those who want to be our guests. And hopefully they'll come and help us do what we're trying to do, which is really let people know that there is a God, he is alive, and he is in charge of our affairs. And once we understand that, a lot of what we think we're going through, we won't be going through, and especially alone. I remember as a Christian citing this particular, I don't know what Bible is from, but yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, my rod and my staff. I mean, that's very comforting to know that no matter what's going on around you, God's in charge. And I'll leave that to my closing statement. And it's very comforting, though, to know that no matter what's going on, God's in charge. And whatever happens, it was his will. And that's another thing. Sometimes we get caught up in, why did that happen? Well, it was your will to be here to see it, but it was his will to do it. So let's not get the gather, because you know, if it's gonna rain or the sun ain't gonna shine today or whatever is gonna happen, it's because it's God's will. And I don't know how people can get upset about little bitty stuff when the big major stuff's going on is great. You're still here above earth on this side of it, so I don't know what the trouble is, what the problem is, you know. But as long as it's that way, you know, you just keep hope alive and keep doing what you're doing, and I think you'll see some definite change, you know. My brother, I'm gonna get on out of here, and I appreciate you. Thank you again. This has been a good day, you know. People ask me, well, how was your day? I said, well, I'll let you know after I finish the program. This is my barometer for my day.
But, well, you know, Pasha, before you actually leave, I don't want to hold up the ending of your program, but I got to tell this little story, and it's very succinct, but I think it's a really important message. It was this man that used to go into work every day, and he would speak to one of his colleagues, and he would always say, good morning. Well, his colleague would always respond back, what's good about it? So one day, he came and got on the elevator. Now, his colleague that he always would speak to, he was on the elevator, but this time he just ignored him. And they worked on different floors. So the guy that would always speak to him, he got off on the floor before his colleague. And he turned to him and said, good morning. And the guy responded in the negative like he usually would, what's good about it? And just before the elevator door closed, the man said, then try missing one. I think you'll find something good about it. I'll end with that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
So let me greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you once again, and I hope that something of benefit came to one and all. And we'll be back to do again, inshallah, if it's Allah's will, mashallah, to do this. It is definitely my honor to be a part of it, and definitely want to recognize the great work that has come to this part of the world and other parts of the world with the leadership and the Imam Wahiruddin Muhammad Rahim Allahu Alayhi.